few weeks ago, we interviewed Jim Nader about his radio program, Magnificent Obsession. And we ended the conversation with this song.
And I recall the nights we stay up late, wide awake, but still dreaming. There was nothing on this earth that could make me tired. But memories don't come so easily. So good night, good night. Wherever you
So many of you wrote to ask us about that piece of music. Well, the song is called Good Night. It's written by Cliff Eberhart, and the artist is Lucy Kaplansky. The song appeared in her first album back in 1994, and since then Lucy Kaplansky has produced three more albums, including her latest, Every Single Day. Now, Lucy Kaplansky is a musical star who once removed herself from the firmament. As a teenager, she left Chicago for New York. She began to perform with folk singers, including Nancy Griffith, Suzanne Vega, especially Sean Colvin. She was widely acclaimed as a coming young star. But before that could quite happen, Lucy Kaplansky just stopped. She went back to school to earn a doctorate in clinical psychology. But after several years of working as a therapist, she felt that the music called her back. So Lucy Kaplansky joins us from our studios in New York. Lucy, Dr. Kaplansky, nice to be with you.
You can call me Dr. Lucy.
You can call me Dr. Ricky.
I like that.
I like that, too, now that I try it out. I like that. I don't know if there's a graceful way of asking this, but is there some link we should know about or you can share with us between therapy and music, clinical psychology and music?
To be an artist, I mean, this is the way I think about it. To be an artist, a writer, especially a writer, I guess, one of the things you're doing is trying to find some kind of emotional truth. Mm-hmm. I think that's what a good song does. That's certainly what I try to do when I write a song. And certainly what I believe therapy is largely about, if not entirely about, is finding emotional truth, is finding out what is really going on inside you and kind of following that lead. So in that way, I actually feel like they're similar, and perhaps there is a way that they were kind of connected in that way for me.
Hmm. Do you mind listening to yourself a little? We want to play some selections from this new album, Every
Sure.
Single Day. First song on the album, if we could listen to that, one that you co-wrote with your husband, Rick Litvin. It's a wonderful song called Written on the Back of His Hand.
You don't have any secrets when you come into the world. You open like a book and the pages get filled. The leaves keep turning on every single page. They write their story with marks on your face. Marks on your face. Locked in your head, an unbreakable code. A secret never spoken is a story never told. Gonna show you the back of my hand, they say. You can hide those scars, but they hurt you every day. They hurt you every day.
This is such a powerful song.
Thank you.
It's about physical abuse.
Yeah, it's really a portrait of someone who's been abused physically or really emotionally.
Yeah. And I guess the sad fact is you don't need to be a clinical psychologist who heard a lot of stories about this at this point.
Yeah, that's really true. Although, boy, as a psychologist, I sure did. Lots and lots and lots.
The very powerful line at the end, one true word's going to beat a pack of lies.
Beat a pack of lies.
Did you learn that?
See, I'm a very big believer in psychotherapy. It's changed my life, my own therapy, I mean. And I think the truth is incredibly powerful. And me finding out that I wanted to sing was this moment of clarity, actually in my own therapy session. So I really believe that that's true. If the truth can get out, it can change everything.
Did you just miss the music when you left it?
I can't say that consciously I really understood I was missing it. I just knew that when I would see my friends on TV, you know, who I'd started out with, I was just filled with despair, but I didn't understand why. It took years to figure that out.
Mercy. A clinical psychologist lies to herself?
Yeah.
How dispiriting for the rest of us.
Tell me about it. I know. It's scary.
When I say that you stopped, I mean, that was a term of art. Did you, in fact, stop?
After I stopped, or I said to everyone I was stopping, I'd said to myself, I actually had some of the best gigs I ever had. That was when I sang with Nancy Griffith. That was when I did a Suzanne Vega album. Mm. So I was really in the middle of singing while I was telling everybody I had stopped.
Mm. Let's listen to another one of your songs, if we could. This is the title song on your CD, Every Single Day.
I can still remember you. Backlit from inside, I would stand there next to you, the bridesmaid to the bride. Later on the radio, men said envy, it's a sin. Could have told him to save his breath, 'cause I'm not listening. Every single a piece of you away. Every single day takes a piece of you away.
Now, can I play clinical psychologist for a moment?
Help yourself.
Well,
I'd love to hear this.
Well, okay, so I hear this through, and the first time I'm thinking, well, this is someone you knew. And then the second time I'm thinking, ooh, this was her before she quit the first time around.
Oh, my goodness. I never thought of that.
I guess it's wrong, but all right.
Well, it's amazing how unconsciously driven songs are, and there may be some truth to what you just said. I just hadn't realized it. In my conscious mind, it's kind of a fictionalized portrait of really a composite of people who I've known who have gone on to become successful and really felt like they really left something behind and lost something very precious and are kind of feeling lost, and me sort of standing in the wings watching this happen.
Yeah. Let's listen to another one if we can now. I really like this one. Don't Mind Me.
Don't mind me. I'm just a bit maniacal about you and derailed when I'm without you. Don't mind me. Me just a little, it'd be okay, 'cause I couldn't leave you anyway. Don't mind me. It doesn't matter what you say, I just like the way you sound. And if you turn away, I'll just turn you back around. Come on.
This is a wonderful song, and first time I heard it, I'm thinking, well, this is kind of a traditional love song. And then when I heard it again, I think, oh, wait, in Dr. Kaplansky's hands and voice, this crosses a line, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't, what is it, and if you turn away, I'll just turn you back around?
It's kind of got a stalker element.
Exactly.
This was kind of an unusual song because I was specifically asked to write this for a movie. I'd never done anything like that. It was for a movie that Sherman Alexie, a wonderful writer, was going to be making, and he had a particular scene he needed a song for.
Smoke Signals.
It wasn't for Smoke Signals. It was for a movie that actually is not going to happen, but it was the follow-up to Smoke Signals.
How often do you write songs?
Well, it takes me a really long time. And I've written all of these songs with my husband. Sometimes they just pop out in a week, and sometimes they literally take 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's so incredibly unconsciously driven. So there's no way to sort of predict when a song's going to get written.
So you're not entirely in control of the process? Or?
No. In fact, someone I know said, you need to get yourself in a position for the song to be able to fall from the sky into your lap. That's literally what it is. You mm-hmm. make yourself available, and then if it happens, it happens.
Yeah. Lucy, I have to ask you about one of your sad songs.
Mm-hmm.
About your grandmother. It's called Song for Molly.
Molly's sitting on her bed. Sunday afternoon, radio's playing outside, TV bleeds from the next room, antiseptic in the air, nurses laughing down the hall, crooked feet and crooked shoes, her wooden cane against the wall. It's Sunday, but her Sunday clothes are packed away somewhere. She doesn't need them anymore. Nothing will look her best for.
This is such a beautiful song for all the way it pinches. I mean, that's what makes it beautiful. This was your
Thank
grandmother.
You. It's a memory of going to visit her actually in South Shore in Chicago in a nursing home at the end of her life. And this is really the way I remember her. She had Parkinson's, and so she was quite demented by the time I really can remember her. But the song kind of evolved into, I guess, a meditation on memory and what women can pass along through generations, because it's very much about my mother as well.
You have a scene in the song, and I calculatedly call it that, where you receive your grandmother's ring from your mother.
Mm-hmm. Right, that she was saving for me. What an incredibly powerful gift. I can't remember my grandmother when she was young and healthy, but I can remember her through these gifts.
I was struck by, it's a dirty trick, this growing old.
It's a dirty trick, this growing old.
For those of us who've been close to people when they grow old, people are often quite open about saying that this growing old thing is difficult to handle.
Yeah, and that's certainly been my observation, that I haven't known very many people who have experienced growing old as a positive thing. And I wish I did know more people like that.
Would you mind if we ended the interview with a song that's not yours?
Sure.
Let's talk about You're Still Standing There by Steve Earle. What made you want to do this song?
The first time I heard it on his record, El Corazon, I just desperately wanted to sing it. I remember I was dancing around the living room listening to it, and I started singing it live, and it worked.
Let me ask you the question Michael Jordan gets all the time. You going to retire again?
I have no plans to ever retire again. I'd have to be pulled kicking and screaming from music ever again.
Well, Lucy, it's been awfully nice talking to you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Singer and songwriter Lucy Kaplansky speaking with us from our studios in New York City. Her new album is called Every Single Day.